Our listeners, we are welcome again to this special sharing on revival. And as you well remember, we are actually handling the first aspect of revival, which is preparing a man's heart for an encounter with the Lord. Preparing a man's heart by uprooting the things that ought not to be on his heart. Preparing a man's heart by pulling away whatever we stand to contradict the nature of God in him. And once man does that, he is ready for God himself to come and dwell in his heart and then begin to use the person. And again, we are actually talking about, it's a message to believers, where believers uproot all that ought not to be in their hearts. And for a person who has not yet encountered the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, the first thing that he ought to do is to surrender his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the surrender of his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will enter into a freshness. And that's actually what a normal life is ought to be, where all that ought to be taken out of the heart have been taken out, and then the Lord himself comes in to stay. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone shall hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with him. The Lord coming to take residence in the heart, begin to eat with a person, begin to grant a freshness to a person, is actually what every one of us should be longing for. In our message today, we are looking at freedom from goallessness, freedom from a life without a direction, freedom from a life without a purpose. So we are actually handling freedom from goallessness. And in this sharing, we are trying to answer the question, why am I here on earth? Why have I been given this particular day, this hour before me? What must be accomplished? What am I targeting to accomplish? What impact am I living with my life here on earth? And if you will live an impact with your life here on earth, you should be targeting to live an impact with every second that God has given to you, because your time is very valuable. Any person who squanders away his time is actually wasting his life. In other words, after you are gone from planet Earth, you will be remembered for what? That's the type of question we are trying to answer. No one can ever, there can be no successful clear goal. You cannot have a clear goal without, or you cannot know success in your life without a clear goal. Without a clear goal, it is very certain that you will fail in your life. Unfortunately, up to 90% of people don't know what they are doing with their life. Most people have no clear goals for their life. The clear goal of your life is not just to exist. It is existing with the purpose of accomplishing something great, so that it will be said that you were not just a consumer here on earth. What this means is that most people, they are actually going nowhere with their lives. If you don't have a clear goal for your life, it means that you are actually going nowhere. Your life is turning in a circle, and any life that turns in a circle is bound to fail. There are two most important days in a man's life here on earth. Number one, the day you were born. And number two, the day that you discover why you were born, why you were created. There's no person who here on earth who was not born. And the unfortunate thing is that most people live all their life without ever asking, I was created for what? I came into this world for what? We're going to look at a verse from the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 1, from verse 4 to 8. The Lord said to Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, you were set apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. We'll just stop there, just that verse. The Lord said, before I formed you, in other words, before a man was created, there was something very clear on God's heart. God knew a man before he was created, and that before the man was born, God set the man apart to accomplish something very specific And therefore, it is important for everyone to ask just one question. I was created for what? What was I set apart for? Before I came to planet Earth, I came for what purpose? You are not an error of creation. You were created with a clear purpose. You did not come here on Earth to escort others. You are here on Earth for a divine, with a divine appointment. You are on a divine appointment. There is something that only you can accomplish here on Earth. And where, whichever nation you may be found, there is something that it is set apart. You are set apart to accomplish. You are not an error of creation. Don't be a spectator. You are an active player in God's planet with a clear goal on God's heart. And therefore, it becomes very critical for you to discover that clear purpose for which you were created. Therefore, know the game you are to play. Play it very well and win the game. Goallessness is a tragedy in many people's life. It is a tragedy that should be forsaken and forsaken at once. The Lord Jesus Christ had a very clear goal for his life. Even before he was born, there was a clear goal. He was clear. He came on earth. The Creator came on earth, took the form of a man, and came on earth for a purpose. He came on earth for a clear purpose. Even before he was born, he said he would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. In other words, right before birth, the Lord Jesus Christ was coming for a purpose. Before each and every one of us, before creation and before birth, we each came for a purpose. Let us just look at Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 7, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 7. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. He said, it is written. Another version says, it is written about me in the volumes of the book. I have come to do your will. So before the Lord Jesus Christ came, it was recorded in the volumes of the books why he came. And for every one of us, by the time we were born, we came to earth, it is recorded why we are here. We are here for a clear purpose, with a clear purpose in view. And it is our responsibility to discover the clear purpose, because you cannot set a goal. A goal is what a man is targeting. What are you targeting to accomplish? This hour before you, what you are targeting to accomplish with clear date fixed to it makes a clear goal for your life. Why am I here on earth? So the Lord Jesus Christ came with a clear purpose, a clear goal. And once you have discovered the vision, the purpose, the reason why you are living, out of the goal, out of that purpose, out of that vision, out of that reason for which you are living, you can make a clear goal for your life. So Jesus Christ had a very clear purpose, a clear reason, and that's why he kept saying, let us go to the next village. That is why I have come. He did not settle in one place because he had a clear goal. By this time, I should be doing this. By this time, I should be doing this. Everything was settled for him. The Apostle Paul had a clear goal. Right from the day of his salvation, he knew very, very clearly why he is saved. Let's open our Bible to the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 26. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. We are talking about the Apostle Paul, that he equally had a clear goal for his life. At the point of his salvation, Paul asked the Lord two questions. Number one, then I asked, who are you, Lord? That was the first question he asked. And a person who asks the Lord a question, God will answer your question. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and what you will see. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentile. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to life and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul asks, who are you? If you look at the same book, chapter 22, you will see verse 6 again to 10. Let's look at it, because Paul asks it there very, very clearly. Verse 8 says, who are you, I ask? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Then in verse 10, he said, what shall I do? So the apostle was asking, number one, who are you? He wanted to know God. Number two, if I know this God, what shall I do for this God that I know? Many believers know God, but they are not caring. They are not asking, now that I know this God, he has revealed himself for me. Why has he revealed himself to me? He has revealed himself to each and every one of us for a purpose. The Lord reveals himself to everyone for a purpose. So number one question was, who are you, Lord? Number two question was, what shall I do? It is in the what shall I do that a man discovers the purpose for living. And out of that purpose for living, he now breaks it down to be able to have the goal for every year, his goal for the month, his goal for the week, his goal for the day, his goal for the minute, so that we are living to accomplish something specific every single minute of our lives that we contribute together towards the purpose for which we were created. So the apostle had to ask, those who don't know, if they care to ask, they will know. If you care to ask, Lord, what shall I do? The unfortunate thing with many people is that they actually ask, the Lord shows them, but they pretend they don't know, because when the Lord shows you what you have to do, there is a price to pay. You have to discipline yourself in order to accomplish that which God has shown you. It is called an assigned task. So there was a clear assignment for him to accomplish. A very clear assignment. The Lord said, you will be shown what you have been assigned to do. The same thing like you listening to us. You will be shown what, or you have been shown already. It is called an assignment. Each person, his assigned task. And out of your assigned task, you begin to ask, by what time will I accomplish that assigned task? I am going to finish that assigned task by what time? And that's why you break it down. By this time, this is what I should have been accomplished. By this time, I should have accomplished this. All those put together will help you to accomplish the purpose for which you were created. The Apostle Paul knew it. And he labored in order to accomplish that assigned task. Let's open our Bible to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. You will see how the Apostle Paul labored in order to accomplish that assigned task. So he labored to accomplish his assigned task. Towards the close of Paul's life, this is what he said. He said, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. He was saying, the time for me to die is very near. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Number one, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You cannot finish what you don't know exists. He could never have known that I'll finish it if he did not know from the beginning what he was setting out to do. So there is a race for you, each and every one of us, to run. There is a battle to fight. There is a race we are running. And if we do it well, at the end, we'll be able to say with Paul, we have kept the faith. The keeping of the faith, unfortunately, many people are only laboring to keep the faith without asking, I am in the faith for what?
You keep the faith, but you accomplish a task. There can be no clear a clear goal without a clear vision, a clear purpose understood. When a person has understood why he was created, then he will break it down, as he says, and say, by this time, this portion of my goal must have been accomplished. The Apostle Paul knew it, and when he knew it, then there is a price he paid. Let's open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Because there are people who know why they were created. There are even people who set clear goals. They know that by the end of 30 days, this is what I must accomplish. But by the end of 30 days, they have not accomplished it. And they don't ask themselves why. There is only one reason: they did not do what Paul did here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 from verse 24, what does it say? It said, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one get the prize? In a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. He said, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone competes in a game. Everyone who competes in a game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. No, I do not fight like a man boxing the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for a prize. He said, don't you know that in a race, everybody is running, but one person will get the prize? He said, do your own running in such a way as to get the prize. He said, I don't fight. I don't run. I am not living like a man running aimlessly. And that is what a goal. A man is aiming at something. A man is targeting something. A man is trying to accomplish something. A man has, that is my target. I must hit it. And I must hit it by this particular time. When you have what you want to accomplish and you set a time limit, you have a goal. When you have what you want to accomplish and you have no time limit, you have just left your life to float. The enemy will squander your time, ruin your time. You will, at the end, accomplish nothing. Paul said, in a race, all the runners, they are running, but only one person gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. He said, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I have a target. I am targeting something, and I know by what time I must finish it. And that's why he was able to say at the end, I have finished it, because he knew what he wanted to accomplish. But he also says, I pummel my body. I hit my body. I bring my body under in order that it may be able to serve me to accomplish the purpose for which I was created. In other words, there is the discipline, the power to say no to your appetite, the power to say no to sleep. There will be a moment that your whole body says you must sleep. If you waste all your time sleeping, your goal will never be accomplished. We don't just yield ourselves, listen to our appetite for sleep, appetite for food, appetite for leisure, and all those things will end up ensuring that you do not accomplish the call of God for your life or whatever goal you have set. We have said you need to discover the purpose for which you are living, and out of that purpose, you break it down to be able to say, by this time, the purpose of God, I must accomplish this by this time. Is it 10 years? Then you break it down into smaller portion, year by year, month by month, week by week, hour by hour, or day by day, hour by hour. When a person has such a direction for his life, he has a goal. You have a goal of, by what time will you finish your studies? After you finish your study, then what next? By what time will you start building a house? By what time will you be serving God in doing what and doing it where? And what are you targeting to accomplish in the service of God? Do you even have a goal, even just your personal goal? How much money must you have and by what time? And you want to have that money to do what with it? So from a clear purpose, a clear goal is set, and when a clear goal is set, a man pays the price in order to accomplish that goal. For some people, they don't know the purpose, therefore they cannot even make a goal. For some people, they know the purpose, they make a goal, but they don't pay the price. They are not disciplined enough to put their bodies under, to say no. Discipline means the power to bring the body and the soul to obey the spirit. You know what the spirit wants. You tell your body, you tell your emotion, you tell your mind, you tell yourself, no, this is what God wants. And if this is what God wants, that's what I will do. Some people begin to labor without a goal. They are running a race and running very fast without a direction. Much effort will be put in towards accomplishing nothing. They are just turning around in a circle, running very fast in all directions. Then the question is, what are you targeting to accomplish? When a man has no direction, he will put in a lot of effort, drain himself so well, but at the end, he has accomplished nothing. So the first thing is that a man must know where you are going. The first thing is not to start running. The question is, you are running so fast with your life to accomplish what? Without a goal, it is like a man who enters a plane and starts just running in all directions, flying in all directions. What will happen to such a person? There will be a crash. Or like a person who holds a gun and starts shooting in all directions. Such a person is a mad person. You cannot be shooting in all directions. You aim at a target. A goal is a target. And from that target, because you know the overall purpose of God for your life, and then everything, your education is targeting, is because of that, the purpose of God for your life. If you are getting married, that purpose. Everything, if it is business, that purpose. So if you set out running and running very fast without a direction, a life without a clear goal will not only lead to failure, it will lead to a disaster. If you don't have a clear goal for your life, you will not only fail, you will end up in a disaster, like a plane flying all over in the air, going nowhere. It will crash. So a clear vision or a clear purpose must be clearly established, and out of that clear vision, a clear goal clearly set. And then you apply the discipline or you pay the price in order to accomplish the goal. And that goal accomplished will finally help and in helping you to accomplish the purpose for which you were created. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, verse 4 and 5, towards the close of his life, he was able to say, I have finished the work you gave me to do. And he said, I have brought glory to your name by finishing the work you gave me to do. When you set out to serve the Lord, set out to do anything, the reward is not given for uncompleted tasks. The reward is given for tasks that were started and completed. You do not, when you start, you join a university, you do not receive your certificate until you have finally completed. You cannot say after year, on second year, and say, I have been in this university for 2 years, give me half of my certificate. It is not possible for that to happen. You start and you press on to the end. And the Lord Jesus, when he prayed that prayer in John chapter 17, he told the Father, now give me the glory I had with you before the world began. Your reward will come after you have accomplished that clear goal that you have set out. And we said, your goal comes from the vision, from the purpose, from the reason why you are here on earth. So there is a clear goal to be accomplished. And when it is finished, a man can know it. He can know that it is finished, what you were targeting, because you know how you started. Just like in a building, you have a clear plan. There's the architectural, the structural plan that talks about the material that will go into the building. Then there's the architectural plan that talks about how the building will look like when it is finished. And then after you have finished it, then they will give you the certificate of occupancy, because they come and look at the original plan and look at the accomplished building and the compare the two. You must know from the word go where you are going, what you are targeting to do, what you are building, where are you going to with your life. At the end, God will be able to look at what he wanted you to do and then compare with what you have done, and the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant, you have completed the task. When Moses was building the tabernacle, the Lord continued to say, then make sure you do it according to the pattern that was received from the mountain. God gave a pattern. So whoever was to be involved in the building of the tabernacle was constantly supposed to compare it with the pattern that was received. When you have the pattern where you are going to with your life, you know very clearly. You don't just roam around. You don't just relate with just anybody. You don't just study just anything. You don't just start in, look for any type of jobs. You know what you want, and therefore you tell yourself, this is where I am going to. There may be difficulties. When God gave Joseph what he was to become, he was to become a leader somewhere. There was a price, the price of suffering. He needed to suffer. Many people don't understand what the purpose. Many people actually mistaken their abilities, their talent, their gift, or all that they have as if that is your vision. Your gift, your ability, your training, all these things are what God has given to you in order to use, in order to accomplish the purpose of God for your life. So your gift is not the purpose of God for your life. You may be able to sing very well, but that's not the purpose of God for your life. It is supposed to use that capacity to sing well in order that you may accomplish something that God has given to you. You may be very well educated. Education is not the purpose of God for your life. You should be educated in order to help you to accomplish the purpose of God for your life. You do not live. Marriage is not even the purpose of God for your life. You get married as some part of what God ordained for you in order to use to accomplish the purpose of God for your life. If you concentrate on this thing, make education your purpose, your goal, make business your goal, the making of money. The question is, you are actually making money for what? We make money to invest into the call of God. And therefore, there's goal-directedness in making money. I am going to make this amount of money to invest into my goal. The goal of a man is not money. That's why the world is lost today. People with massive sum of money, but very soon committing suicide because the goal was not money. It was money for a purpose. You will be very, very empty if you are just caught up with the job, caught up with money, caught up with this, caught up with this. These things are given to help a man accomplish a goal. They are not a goal. So the real issue is that when the vision is known, the purpose for which a man is living is known, the clear reason why God created a man is known, then that purpose should become a master passion that should rule and direct a man's life. That's what it should weigh on the man. The man dreams about it at night. The man works at it during the day. And in everything, whatever profession a man is looking for to do, a man is asking, how shall this contribute towards this one reason for which I was created? If a man is involved in anything, he's asking only one thing. Will it at the end help me to accomplish the reason for which God created me? That's what is called a master passion, a driving force. When there is something that has gripped the heart of a man, there will be ability released from God. There will be the power released from God. There will be the resources released from God. God releases his power. God releases his resources. God releases the ability to help a man to accomplish a purpose. God will not give resources into the hand of a purposeless man, a man without a direction for his life. So when you know where you are going to with your life, you can also be very sure that God will empower you if you cooperate with God. God will give you the resources. So Paul said, I am not running aimlessly. I have a target, and that target is what I am trying to achieve. I want to reach there. and I discipline my body. I bring my body and soul to be able to obey the Spirit, and in order that I will be able to accomplish the one reason for which I am here. So when you know why you are living, then you get focused, and then you accomplish something worth being remembered for before God. And it is not just talking about talking, it is action and not words. Because there are many people, everything about them is ideas, it is talk. Until a man has set out to begin to act upon his ideas, upon even the thing he has written down, it is action that will produce result and not just words. The difference between who you are and who you want to be is actually what you do. For many people, they're always dreaming, a lot of dreams, but the dreams are not being put into action. And that is why they are accomplishing very little. Set out, know where you are going to your life, break it into measurable goals, and begin to apply yourself and begin to pay the price in hard work through disciplined application of your time, of your resources, and then you accomplish something great. You have a choice to live with your dream, or you have the choice in order to put your dream into practice and set out and say, this is what I dreamt about and it must come to pass. Joseph had a dream, and then his dream met his brother to begin to call him this dreamer, and they hated him because of his dream, but he pressed on. The devil wanted to ruin his dream through sin, but he pressed on until a day came when his dream was fully accomplished. It's a master passion. Don't just dream, set out in order to ensure that that dream was accomplished. God created you for something great. What is success? True success is to become what God created you for. Apply your time and ensure it. This is what God created you. Don't live the life of another person. You can waste your life by imitating other people. Set out and ask yourself only one thing. I was created and brought to this planet Earth for what? If God says before he created me, he knew me and he set me apart for a purpose, then I should know what he set me apart for, and I should set out in order that I should accomplish what he set me apart for. The problem with many people is that they are always looking behind. Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, I look forward, I press on to accomplish the goal for which Christ created, for which I was created. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Open with us to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul said, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He said, I've not yet accomplished my goal, but I'm pressing on. That's what it means to be disciplined. That's what it means to pay the price. You know the call, you know what you are accomplishing, you know you set the goal, and you press on. You press on, and you should know when you have not yet. Here in Philippians, Paul, he said, I've not yet accomplished the goal. In 2 Timothy, he said, I've finished it. So you should know, and then you pay the price. He said, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward towards what lies ahead. Because that's the problem of many people. They are always looking at their failures of behind. Their failure, I could not do this, I am not this. But Paul said, I forget what lies behind, I press on, I strain, I pay the price, and I press on against all obstacles. When a man knows what God created him to be and to do, you should know that if there are mountains before you, those mountains will be scattered. They will be level, because the resources of God will be given to you to shatter, level all the mountains. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on towards the goal. Yes. So when you know the goal, you press on towards the goal. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. I press on towards the goal. I press on towards the goal. I forget the things that are behind. If you are constantly looking behind, and you are moving ahead, looking behind, you will be crushed by a vehicle. You will be crushed by coming by obstacle you will meet. Forget the failure of the past and look forward. Press on. Press on. Nobody has ever succeeded without difficulties. You should consider that the opportunity, the crisis in your life are actually opportunity to rise to great height. Create opportunities out of those crises in your life. Nobody has ever accomplished anything great without encountering difficulties. If there are no difficulties, it means that what you accomplish will be the accomplishment of everybody. You should make that mountain a place to tap mineral, to tap wealth. You can use any difficulty to accomplish something great. The person who presses on will see that the Lord himself will stand with that person. It is said that somebody made a research and it was found that out of 412 top successful men, 392 of them up, they succeeded because they had failed and they came to the end of themselves. Just imagine, out of 412 top successful men, 392 of them, they succeeded because they had failed, they came to the end of themselves, they thought that was the end. Only 20 of them went through out without problems. So many people have failed in life. The only difference between them and those who have failed and they are no longer doing anything is that they fail and move on. Others fail and remain and continue to proclaim their failure all their lives. Over every mountain, there is a path you can take. Over every difficulties. The Bible said, because of the Lord, we leaped over walls. There are walls that God will help you. The children of Israel before the obstacle, the Red Sea was before them. The Lord said, why are you crying out to me? Stretch forth the what is in your hand. And the obstacle soon gave way. The obstacle before you can give way if you are not the one of those who constantly the slightest obstacle, you want to go back, you want to go back, you want to go back. We press on and it will not be long before we accomplish something great. There are dangers for goallessness. A person who does not have a clear purpose for his life, such a person does not care whether he lives in sin or not. If you know that sin will ruin your life, will ruin the purpose of God for your life, that is why you flee. So, sin is normally the lot of people who have nothing they are targeting. One of the reasons why people give themselves to all sorts of sin is, after all, what is at stake? If I commit this sin, what is at stake? When you know, what God wants you to be, the great person God wants you to be, the great thing that God has ordained that you accomplish, and when you know it and you set a goal, you are one of those who will flee. You know that sin is poison to the purposes of God. That is why Joseph in Egypt was able to tell Potiphar's wife, how can I do this and sin against my God? Because the enemy was following him and wanted to ruin the purpose of God for his life through sin. So, sin will block you from accomplishing the purposes of God. And therefore, when you don't know that God even has a purpose for your life, you have no clear goal, you will yield to any type of sin. Without a clear goal, a purposeless person will fail in life. After all, you are pressing on to accomplish what? So purposelessness and failure are twin brothers. If you don't have a clear direction, a student, he joined the university, but he has no target. There are those who, day one of their university life, they tell themselves, I am going to have all the prizes in this faculty. They tell themselves, I will have a first class degree. It is only when some students are actually completing that they begin to, so there was a prize in this faculty. They did not even know what they were targeting. They are just average students. To them, 50% is a pass. 50% means 50% failure and 50% pass. It depends on who is evaluating you. A purposeless person will be confused. A purposeless person, you become very frustrated. A purposeless person, if you don't have a clear goal, a goalless person, you will leave no impact with your life. There is no incentive for hard work. The incentive for hard work is, I must accomplish this by this time. That is why, while men are sleeping, you are pressing on. You are working hard. You are able to tell yourself, yes, I am doing better than many other people, but I'm not. Their goal is not like mine. I don't compare myself with others. You compare with yourself with the target God has given to you, and therefore you can work hard and press on. So goallessness is a tragedy. It is a terrible thing. The energy, the resources that God has reserved for you, you will never claim them from God. You are claiming resources to do what you did when you have nothing you are targeting. So a purposelessness is something very, very bad. There are dangers. There are many other dangers. You will not discover many things because necessity is the mother of invention. When in the accomplishment of your goal, you meet difficulties, your mind will begin to think, your spirit will become alive. You begin to launch out and begin to ask, how can I solve this problem? Let's look at how can you be set free from goallessness, from purposelessness, from a life without a direction. The first thing is that you need to accomplish, you need to accept, acknowledge the fact that you don't have a direction for your life. You cannot write down and say, this is where, or you don't have anything written down, this is where I am going to with my life. This is what must be accomplished this month. This is what must be accomplished this week. This is what must be accomplished this day. When you don't have such, you are purposeless. Acknowledge it. Instead of covering your fault, your shortcoming, tell yourself, I don't have a direction. You will not know freedom without acknowledging that you have a direct. You don't have a direction for your life. Number two, repent. Repent. God had a goal, even in creation. Day one, he had to do. Day two, he had. Day three, up to day six. And then there was day seven for resting. And for God, everything was well planned. And as we saw in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have come to do your will, O Lord, as it is recorded of me in the volume of the books. Repent of all purposelessness in your life. Then ask God. Anybody who asks, ask God. God, did you just waste your time to create me? Why did you create me? Why am I here on earth for what? If you ask God and if you mean business, God will show you. He will show you very, very clearly. So ask God to show you what he created you for, the purpose for which he created you. Then as you understand the purpose for which he created you, in other words, that's the vision of God. That is the purpose of God. That's the call of God for your life. Out of that call of God for your life, you can begin to make very clear goal. When God has shown you, write it down very clearly. Read it. And ask yourself whether you understand. Because God will not tell you what you don't understand. Then after that, share it with somebody very close to you. Most of the time, don't share it with somebody lower than you. Share it with someone above you or a leader somewhere. Share it with somebody you value. And ask the person, let me read this goal of my life, this purpose of God, whether you understand it. If you don't understand it, ask God, tell God, Lord, I don't seem to understand. God cannot tell you to do what he does not make clear to you. So, share with someone. After that, get the person's opinion. Don't be the person who just share and then you throw away all opinions. And you are running in all directions. For some people, the purpose of God for my life is to become great. Yes, the purpose of God for my life is to do this. But even you yourself, you are not asking, what does that greatness mean? The purpose of God for my life is to serve him. You serve him in doing what? The purpose for my life is this. Let everything be very, very clear. From that purpose of God for your life, what you should do clearly, right, begin to make clear goals. Set yearly goal. In other words, cut a portion and say, this year, this is what must be accomplished. This month, this is what must be accomplished. This week, this is what must be accomplished. This day, this is what must be accomplished. Make it to the last minute. Don't waste your minute. As it is as you waste your minute that you end up wasting your life. After you have known all what God wants you to do, put everything into your goal. Your money, your time, your emotion. Everything should be invested into accomplishing of your goal. Anybody who says he has a goal, you know the purpose for which he was created. The way to know whether you know the purpose for which you were created is, what are you putting in your all? What is it that you dream about at night? What is it that you in the place of prayer, you are crying out to God? What is it that you are working, you are laboring, you are making money for, when your goal is just to make money, you don't have a goal? When you finally stand before God, God will be asking you, I send you to planet Earth for this purpose. What will you tell God that you accomplished? So put in everything. Then begin to make frequent evaluation. Begin to evaluate. This is what I was targeting to accomplish. How far have I gone into accomplishing what I was targeting? As you evaluate, be accountable to God, place it before God and say, God, this is how far I have gone. Have someone you value, a leader that you value, you respect, and begin to give an account to that person. Then give an account to yourself. This is how far I have gone in the accomplishment of this goal. Then separate yourself from all that will distract you. There are people without goals, without direction. They just jump from one person to the other, one party to the other. Purposeless people will distract you from your goal. First of all, they don't know where they are going to. If they are traveling somewhere, they reach on the road, they branch and move in another direction. That is not your life. You have found a direction for your life. There are certain people you have to break relationship with. There are some places you decide you will put away all distractions. That's why Paul said, I pummel my body. Decide that you will never be discouraged. Put away discouragement. A great man, you can be a great person, but the enemy can come and discourage you and make you to begin to think that you are useless, you have failed. Tell the enemy, well, I have fallen, but I'm not a failure. I will rise and move on. The Bible says, a righteous man falls down 7 times. He rises and continues. Who has never fallen? There is no child who learned to walk and does not fall. If a child, somebody say he has never fallen as he was learning to walk, but he is not a human being, we fall, we rise, and after a time, you can walk well without falling. Decide that your goal will not be your God. It is as you seek God that God will help you to accomplish the goal. If God has called you to do something, that's why Paul was talking about his the race. Then there's the keeping of the faith. Don't lose God by running around to serve God. Let service not become your God. That's why you must still give time to seeking God, reading your Bible, being taught the word of God, give time to meditate, time to withdraw or retreat, to be alone with God. Jesus constantly did that. After ministering, he went back to the presence of his Father. Your goal, what you call your goal, can starve you from your God, can snatch God out of your life. There are 4 factors that are responsible for a 100% success. If you will succeed in the accomplishment of that goal, you need to understand what these 4 factors are, each of them contributing 25%. Number one, a clear goal. If you have a clear goal for your life, you have succeeded already 25%. So if after listening to us now, you just set out to say, this is where I'm going to with your life, you have a clear goal, you will succeed 25%. Then a clear goal, you work hard. Hard work will contribute again 25%. Hard work in the accomplishment of that goal, in moving in that direction. Then accountability. We have already said something about it. I begin to evaluate and present, look at it and say, what was I targeting to accomplish? Then set out to accomplish it. Be accountable to God, accountable to yourself, accountable to an authority that you respect. Clear goal, hard work, accountability, all these are part of discipline. Only one aspect, which is gift, ability, talent, it contributes 25%. You may not be gifted, you may not be talented, but you can still succeed 75% if you are a disciplined person. Anybody who is disciplined, has a clear direction he is moving into with his life, and he is accountable, a disciplined person, accountable, even if you are not gifted in that area in which you are moving, God will still help you. You will still go very far. We'll end this sharing with 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. Look at one of the people who knew what they were to accomplish and who succeeded in life. 2 Chronicles 31 verse 20. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah. He was doing what was good, doing what was right, and faithful before the Lord his God. He did what was good, he did what was right, he did what was faithful. He maintained character. If you will succeed, you will not just succeed by doing things, you will succeed also because you had the right character. There are normally two aspects to success. There is your performance and there's your character. You can perform so well and still be a failure. So he was a man of character. Verse 21, in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the command, he sought God and he worked wholeheartedly. And so he succeeded. He prospered. Number one, he was a person of character. Number two, he looked for God, he sought God, and he worked wholeheartedly. Do you want to succeed in the accomplishment of that goal that you understand, that you have clearly received from God? Be a person of character. Seek God with all your heart and work hard. So, a clear goal, 25%. Hard work, 25%. Accountability, 25%, and talent. But we see in the case of King Hezekiah, he was a man of character. He did what was good. In everything you do, ask yourself, is it good? Am I being faithful? Am I doing the right thing? Because you can accomplish much, and on that day, will be rejected by God. Because you are not where you are not faithful. He did what was good, faithful, he did what was right. Then he worked wholeheartedly. He looked for God and he worked wholeheartedly. Character, seeking God, and hard work will make you to succeed in the accomplishment of the goal God has given to you. Separate yourself from goallessness. Look and get very clearly why you were created. Number two, do everything as you understand it. Set clear goal. This is what must be accomplished by the end of the year, by the end of the month, by the end of the week, by the end of the day. Then at the end, put in your all, work wholeheartedly, and don't abandon your God. If you do this, while looking at your life and making sure you maintain the right character, work hard, have a clear direction, and ensure that there is an intimate relationship with God. You have discovered the call of God for your life. Then out of the call of God for your life, what have you done? You have set clear goal. And as you have set clear goal, you apply discipline in order to accomplish that goal. And one day you will stand before God and God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Freedom from purposelessness in order, goallessness, in order that you may accomplish something that on that day God will say you were not a failure. A person who is a failure is a person who did not even discover why he's here on earth. And some discover, they set no goal. And some set goal, they never pay the price. And some pay the price, but they abandon God. Make sure that you don't abandon God. Pay the price, have a goal, have the vision very clear, and you will succeed. May God bless you.